Series continues. So far, we've talked about the sacrificial faith of Abel, we've talked about Enoch and walking close with God, and we spent 2 weeks on Noah talking about his unquestioning faith that endures, that God's timing sometimes seems to take forever. Today we come to Abram, who is also known as Abraham. And I don't know how many of you get that one confused. It's like, wait a minute, where's the Abram? Where's the Abraham? So let me help you out. Abram means exalted father. That's what the Hebrew word in Hebrew. All of those names in the Old Testament have actual meanings. And so you can get a lot of clues to what's going on with different stories if you take the time to look up those meanings. It means kind of like saying he's the best dad, right? Those cards on Father's Day. He's a great dad. It's talking about being father to your own children. Abram was the name he was called from Genesis 12 to Genesis 17. And in Genesis 17:5, God says to him, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee." I bet you can figure out what Abraham means. Father of multitudes. So he goes from being the father to just his kids to a father of multitudes. Oh, and by the way, his wife's name changes too. So got that one figured out? You have Sarai and Sarah. And they come from the same root. Sarai means princess. That's a nice name. If you have a little girl, name her Sarai. Sarah means a noble woman, the wife of a noble man. So in changing her name to Sarah, God is recognizing her place with Abraham, who's now the father of multitudes and of many nations. Abraham's pretty darned important in Scripture, probably second only to Christ himself in Scripture. 1/4 of the book of Genesis is about him, and Genesis is a very long book if you've looked at it. There are 40 references to Abraham in the Old Testament beyond the book of Genesis. That's a lot. Just knowing that gives you an idea why he's so important to the Jews. Abraham is hugely important to the Jewish faith. But did you know there's 75 references to him in the New Testament? Oh my, this connects him with Christianity as well, and he's part of the lineage of Christ himself. But this you may not know. There are 188 references to him in the Quran. Did you know that? Really? Same Abraham? Abraham is second only importance to Muhammad in the religion of Islam. Father Abraham, we sing the kids' song, you know, Father Abraham is father to the three world faiths, the biggest world faiths. Did his faith make a difference? Absolutely. This chapter, and we'll be talking about Abraham this week and next, Abraham's call comes in chapter 12 of Genesis. He's living in Haran, okay, which is interesting because we think, when you hear about Abraham, if you research him, it talks about the call coming to him in Ur, which is spelled U-R, Ur. And yet, this passage, it says he's in Haran. But if we go back a chapter, we learn that Abraham's dad set out to move from Ur to Canaan, but got sidetracked and stopped in Haran. Abraham's dad has died, and the Lord shows up to give Abraham his marching orders. He first told him he was going to be going way back in Ur, but now it's like, okay, it's time to move on. It's time to live into this call I've given. Verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." Three things. Leave your country. Leave your people. Leave your father's household. The story of Abraham's call found in Acts 7, one of those passages in the New Testament, helped me a lot as I'm researching what I want to share with you today. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, who is the first Christian martyr, is speaking to the Sanhedrin, and he's explaining who Christ is, basically. And of course, for Jews to understand, you have to take it back to Abraham. And so this is what he says to the Sanhedrin. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. Okay, now he made it clear. This is helpful. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even enough ground to set his foot on. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him this way. For 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, God said, and afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in this place. Call upon Abraham, leave your country, leave your family, leave your father's household. Now that means leaving the house, leaving the property, leaving the servants, leaving the way that things were done there. And leave them for what? Leave them for what? A land that he will never get to possess. A land in which his descendants would suffer for 400 years. Sign me up. You ready? Sign on the dotted line. We got cards ready, commitment cards. Sign on the line. Wow. God matches, though, every command with a promise. Leave your country, and I will take you to a new country. Leave your family, and I will give you a new family. You're going to have kids. I don't care that you're 75. You're going to have kids. We'll get to that next week. Leave your father's household and the status that goes with it, and I will give you new status and a new position. But wait, a little catch here. You won't live to see this fulfilled. Your family will suffer for many generations. And by the way, you're going to have to depend on me every step of the way. Noah, do you remember his game plan? It was so detailed. The cubits, right? This is how big the ark's going to be. This is how many stories it's going to be. This is how many animals. How many giraffes? You people that are visiting are going, what? Ask them. They should know. He was told the animals were going to come. He was told how long it was going to rain. He got all of this detail. Abraham just got marching orders. No roadmap. Hebrews, because we're preaching from Hebrews, in verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Wow. Noah got the promise that God would rebuild humanity through him. Abraham got a threefold promise. I will give you a land, I will give you many descendants, and I will bless you and others through you. Just a couple little details. Just put this in perspective and hold on to it till next week. Like I said, Abraham was 75. And earlier in the story, it states very clearly that Sarah, is barren. She can't have children. And she's not young either. Right. But what does Abraham basically say? Okay. All right. I'll do it. The full passage from Hebrews says this. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Wow. What kind of faith did Abraham have? How would you describe his faith? Unquestioning, like Noah in that. Okay. Unfailing, faithful, yeah, trusting. I kind of call it illogical. And it's courageous, courage and a lot of faith to do what he did. I'm going to call his faith, I'm going to call his faith uncharted faith. Because there was no roadmap. There was a quote in the commentary. Oh, that was better. Thank you. There's a quote in the commentary that I was looking at that said this: the faith to which we are called is not faith in a plan, but faith in a person, in God. So I have a question for you. Are we supposed to make plans to carry out our ministry here at Mission Covenant Church? Are we supposed to make? Yeah, absolutely. We're supposed to make some plans, but I used these two verses last week. The heart of a man, this is Proverbs 16:9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Abraham knew that God wanted him to go to a new place. That's what he knew. So how much did he need to know to be live out that plan? One, he knew it wasn't an option to stay where he was. Right? God said leave. And so he had to leave. He knew he wasn't coming back, so he packed up his stuff. He made a plan for the trip, but he didn't worry about the provisions if they were. He didn't worry about the route to take. He had GPS. He didn't figure out the plan for the new houses that he was going to build when he got there. Abraham depended on God every step of the way. This is driving me crazy. And God let him in on a need-to-know basis. That's what that kind of faith, uncharted faith, is. We have a calling on us. Do you realize that? You have a calling on you. And we have a calling on us as a church. God is calling us to take a facility next door in order to live out our mission in Orange. And there are going to be things we're going to find. There are going to be new things that we're going to need to embrace going forward. And we are being blessed so that, just like Abraham, we can be a blessing. There's a budget meeting after worship today. I mentioned it in the announcements. How in the world are we going to pay for that building? What did you say? I missed it. You know, the leadership team, we've gotten to know each other better and better. Just so much yesterday after meeting for like 3 hours, nobody left and we hung around and told stories for another hour, so it was great. It was great. That's getting comfortable. That's building team, which is awesome. And yeah, the leadership team is doing their due diligence. They're spending time brainstorming some of this. And yeah, we're working on plans for ministry and we're working for mission, what that may look like. And yeah, you're going to be given opportunities to be really involved in this going forward. But that's not get overly hung up on every step of a plan. He's going to give it to us as we are faithful and that we're listening to him. The faith to which we are called is not faith in a plan, but faith in a person, in God. We need to have the faith to go into uncharted territory, just like Abraham. That means a deep commitment to prayer. Okay? Yeah, you did a commitment card where you wrote down how much you're going to pray. If you didn't, you can think of it now. We must be committed to prayer. We must be committed to spending God's word so that he can speak to us through that word. We need to be committed to be fully participatory.